If you've just joined, I did say that we're going to be having a conversation in this third hour that I have been looking forward to for a while, and I think it's long overdue, and we should always find opportunities to have this conversation. April is marked as the Autism Awareness Month, and I know you might be thinking, but wait, Kosi, it's the 7th of May? Yes, I know. But this is a conversation that even if it's 15 months after the actual day of awareness, we can still make space to have conversation about this. And here's a question that I can maybe ask you to ponder on in your own space in the car. You need not let me know. You can just think about it on your own. It's a question of how much do you know about autism? How much do you actually know about those living on the spectrum? How much do you know about the support that families, loved ones, and those in the community of children or adults found to be on the spectrum have and need in the space they find themselves in? How much do you know about that? And it's for that reason that we're saying, hey, we want to bring in people that are doing some incredible work in that space to create support, to create awareness, and to make sure that you and I, should we be faced with this again, we are able to love, to serve, and show this love of God that you and I have to share with every single person around us. I'm joined in studio this afternoon by Pastor Marae Lombard from CRC, as well as Tasmia Boyson, who is an occupational therapist, together with Lizelle van Dijk, who is also an occupational therapist. Ladies, welcome to Drive 3 to 6.
Wow, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for joining me for a very important conversation, and I think it's only fitting that we create spaces like this, and as many times as we can, we should.
Yes.
But I'm also aware that there's some people who may be listening to this and going, I don't know much about autism. I don't actually know anything. I just hear about it as a word, but I've got no idea what it is. And Lizelle, maybe I can bring this first question to you in terms of what is ASD, the autism spectrum disease? What is that exactly for someone who might be going, I know nothing about this?
Hi, Kosi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I just want to say thank you from CRC for inviting us and giving us this time to speak to you and to share with you and to share with your listeners. So as you've already introduced, you know, autism is a very wide spectrum. So it's quite difficult to pin it down. But obviously there are some definitions. And as we know, autism spectrum disorder is a neurodevelopmental condition, and it affects how individuals communicate, interact, and experience the world. It's also called a spectrum because it's different in each person. And although it is different in each person, there are certain characteristics that we can identify in order to assist with diagnosis. So some of the things that children especially typically present with is a social and communication difference. So individuals with autism struggle to understand social cues. They struggle to maintain conversations, or they often struggle to express emotion in a conventional way, like how neurotypical people would experience it. Children also often present with repetitive behaviors. Often kids would be seen, we call it flapping. It's like repetitive hand movements. They also quite like routines, and when those are disturbed, you might see a meltdown. And everyone who has a child with autism can tell the difference between a meltdown and a temper tantrum. Yes, and they often have very specific interests. You might sometimes call it a little bit of an obsession. So some kids love trains, for example, and can tell you all about a certain topic. And it's quite common for these children to also have sensory processing difficulties. And some kids might be highly sensitive to things, so like lights or sounds, textures. Food is often a hot topic on autism discussion groups. And other children might seek sensory, intense sensory experiences. So you might see a child jumping or running or spinning more than you would other children.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you say this, because I know very little about it, but something that has helped me understand it a little bit more is television. Two shows particularly, The Good Doctor and Atypical. I see you nodding because you probably know these shows. These shows expose me to understanding. And yes, it's been dramatized for the sake of television, and some might be able to relate to the T. But it helped me understand what it looks like doing life in general and kind of the structure of those around people who may be living with ASD. And I say this because not everybody has that luxury or has seen these shows or is privy to people around them in their community who are living with SD. And Possumale, I bring this to you because you're kind of doing some work to support those families and those who are in that community.
Yes.
But also kind of bringing light to us who don't know, who yes. are outside of these two television shows that I referenced to. And kind of want to ask, what do you wish more people understood about people that are living with special needs and that community so that we know how to best love and serve them?
Yes. Thank you so much, Khosi. So one of the scriptures from CLC this year is Jeremiah 30 verse 17 that says, where God says, I will restore health to you, I will heal your wounds because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her.
Sure.
And it's actually such a, if you read that scripture, it just speaks to your heart. And that's something that Pastor Art is very clear on. To bring in people from all walks of community, the society, into the church, and to make space and make room for people who are differently abled.
Yeah.
So people that have different needs and special needs, not just only autism. So according to recent global research, 1.3 billion people, that's 16% of the world population, live with significant disability. And I don't think people know that. So that means that even in South Africa, 16% of our population has got significant disability. Autism is not a sickness. I think yeah. that's something that people must know. Or it's not a disease that you can pass from one child to another child. It's a disability that affects the brain development. It makes autistic children act differently and they view the world differently.
Mm.
They are just differently abled.
Yeah.
And that's how we choose to see we are differently abled as a church.
Yeah.
And that's why we are making space and room with what we're doing.
I love that. I love that perspective of not saying, hey, there's anything wrong. They just see things and do things different to you and I. And different is something that we celebrate and we acknowledge as a people. And Tasmia, you know, there's someone who might be listening to this conversation and going, by virtue of not knowing so much or knowing someone in my community or where I eat, work and play, could therefore mean autism isn't as prevalent in South Africa. And I maybe would love for you to help us paint a picture of what's the reality, what's the state of autism awareness and acceptance in South Africa? Because one could be saying, yeah, I'm just not aware of it, but actually maybe we as a nation are struggling with acceptance of this or bringing awareness to it.
Sure. Good question, Khosi. I think we have this inherent ability to focus on what we're not doing or what we've not yet accomplished. And it's the same with awareness of autism. Yes, there's room for improvement, specifically when it comes to inclusive education, tertiary inclusive education, job opportunities, the availability, affordability of healthcare services in South Africa. But we can also take a step back and look at how we've taken strides as a country already. Already we can see that there is more awareness, and fundamentally we can obviously move towards acceptance of children and people with autism in South Africa. And Pastor Art always encourages us for the local church to get involved in all spheres. So it's just another area that we can get involved in as churches, the local church to get involved in, that we can create awareness. Because in the church, if there's awareness and acceptance, then surely it will flow over through other areas of life. And I think, yeah, like I said, it's more than just awareness. It's ultimately acceptance. And the church should make room, and it's something that we've been able to do at CRC specifically in our kids church. We've equipped our volunteers with special needs, and we aim to continue doing that, to really equip them, give them the resources so that kids, families can be aware that there are people who are neurodivergent and they are accepted, that there's room for them in church.
I happened to be at an event that was hosted at New Hope School some time ago, and being able to see how the school facilitates spaces and places, particularly for kids that are on the spectrum, that might be areas where the light is a little bit dimmer and it might be soothing and calming for them. And one might think, oh man, that's fantastic, but it's only a glimpse of what it looks like when those that are living or those that are on the spectrum kind of find as challenges to navigating this mainstream area. And Lizelle, maybe I want to bring this question to you to say, what are some of those biggest challenges that children face who are living on the spectrum when it comes to mainstream education and some of the difficulties that some of us might not even think about?
Right, Khosi, yes. And I'm going to answer from an OT perspective. Obviously, when we look at autism, there are many other specialists involved, like speech and language therapists, doctors. There's many teachers that have specialist training. There's many exciting new treatment methods and ways to get children to communicate better, like the spell to communicate system, which I learned about recently. That was just amazing. So in mainstream school settings, often kids have sensory barriers, like you just mentioned. Lights are too bright, and OTs are pretty good at assisting schools or parents to identify these difficulties. Like, each child might be is quite different, so to identify it for that child and adapt a situation or a classroom for that specific child. And like Taz mentioned, that's also what we do at CRC at Kids Church. And then, like the social and communication difficulties, you can imagine having those problems and having to stand up in a class and give a speech, or where social rules demand eye contact. It's very difficult for these children to adhere to those norms in a mainstream school setting. And then difficulties with transitions. These kids find it very difficult to switch their mind from one thing to another thing. So maybe from one lesson to another lesson. And I always use the example, it's like filing cabinets. So some children can only have one filing cabinet open at a time, and then you need to close the English cabinet to go to the math cabinet.
Yeah.
And some children just have all cabinets open all the time. So it is a very individual thing that needs to be addressed.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I think then a lot of us start to realize, man, there's so many cues now, not just limited to the classroom, but actually life, that you realize we need to kind of be cognizant of this. And we're sadly running out of time, because I really want to talk about this so much more. But Pastor Marie, maybe I'll bring it to you to kind of help us highlight some of the areas or places that people could go to. There might be someone who are saying, hey, I want to be able to support some people. Are there initiatives that people can go to support those in the community, or those who are in the community, where they can get support from those that are around them?
Yes, thank you, Khosi. So this year we are running a campaign called Breaking Barriers, which is an awareness campaign for autism. And people can go to crcchurch.com and click on empowerment groups, and they will get all the information on that. We've already visited 9 autism schools, spoke to over 400 teachers, encouraging them, because those teachers give every day. Mm. And then also we have groups like Moms of Miracles, that is a support group specifically for mothers with children with special needs. We also have an aid and support connected to that group. We also have like home cells where these moms can get involved in, because, you know, many of these moms are the caregivers to the children, so they don't leave their homes.
Yeah.
So those home cells are online, where they can connect with God, can connect with the Holy Spirit, where they get fed spiritually themselves as well. So all those groups are on there, and they can go to our website and get more information.
Excuse me. Tasmia, I want to maybe wrap up this with this question. There are parents who might be going, I've heard what Lizar has described, but I'm not sure if that's my child. Are there certain things that parents should say, hey, that's a warning, and I should go to the doctor? Oh, excuse me. Now that it's out of the way, are there certain things that parents could say, I should look out for this as a guide if I should go to an OT?
I think it's important to take into account, Khosi, that there's not just one, so it's called the DSM, a diagnostic criteria. There's not just one symptom that equates to autism. So if your kid has an, lack of a better word, obsession with trucks, for example, it doesn't mean that you have to take your kid to a specialist. However, if you look at the DSM, and it's easily accessible, if you look at the different symptoms of the disease, then you, or the disorder, then you can see if my kid has 5 or more of these things, then surely this is a sign that I should go to a professional. And I think it's a good way for us to break the stigma. Parents, we have a stigmatization around autism, that something's wrong, your kid is broken.
Mm.
But knowledge is power at the end of the day. So for parents who are wondering, it's better to ask than to not ask. And then that way you can help your kid, set them up, because ultimately early intervention does help the outcome of your child fundamentally.
I've got 2 questions, and I'm going to try to squeeze them in. I'm completely over time. 2 questions coming through on the WhatsApp line. Someone's saying, I have a nephew, 2 boys that are autistic, and the younger child is learning from the older child. It's sad because the parents have not taken the kids for an assessment. How do I help? Are there places where someone is kind of picking up something and saying, I need to kind of bring attention to this?
I think it would be good for this person to have a conversation and maybe highlight the things that they're worried about. Perhaps they can contact a therapist or go and have a conversation with a specialist so that they can be guided into this conversation. Because, yes, that is a natural thing for younger children to learn from older children. Yeah. So I think, like I said, you know, knowledge is power. So maybe they can equip themselves and then go and have a conversation.
Would this be the same process for somebody else? Also anonymous saying, what about adults that haven't been diagnosed as children? Kind of just going and go visit the doctor. Should they be concerned to say, hey, just teach me a little bit more just in case that's the case?
I think a doctor and an occupational therapist, because they can help you adapt with your activities of daily living. So we are the places you feel overstimulated or the sensory inputs, that's just too much for you, so that you can be a functional adult ultimately. So definitely.
Ladies, thank you. This has been absolutely insightful. Thank you for the work you do. Thank you for shedding light on something so important. Got a number of messages, people saying thank you for highlighting this as well. So thank you for your time, for your work, for your dedication, and of course the support that you bring to so many families.
Thank you.
It's Pastor Marae Lombard, Tasmia Boyson, and Lizelle van Dijk joining us here on Drive 326, talking about autism awareness.